Hour number three here, Triple Option with RBKD. You can tell I was like, wait a minute,
it's Tupac Day because like, yeah, I know Tupac's I'm like, birthday.
Didn't I already do this before? Yeah. You guys looked at me
like, what? This is not one and done.
It's a good thing I've only been doing radio more than half my life. I was like, what the heck's going on? Oh
well,
yeah.
Well, no, it's Pavlov's dog, right? Yes. You're so trained by the music, so and you were like, whoa, oh, look, like, I got to do one and done. He's like, no, you did it already.
I don't know how to function right now. I'm not breathing properly. No, hey. It's a Triple Option.
It's a famous experiment for a reason.
With RBKD, it's hour number three. We're at Total Men's Primary Care. We're in Killeen, having really just a good time out here. We've got food. We got Rudy's Barbecue, and it's a great time to come get a checkup, or maybe it's a physical. Guys, we can be a little lazy and lackadaisical with that, and that's just I don't like to split gender stuff up too much, but I've seen that too much, and I know it with myself.
Actually, that's why I like Total Men's Primary Care and the message, because they do know how men are, and it's different for every guy. I think most guys don't go to the doctor enough because it's about awkward conversations. Men hate awkward conversations. That's why when your woman comes up to you and she says, we need to talk, you're like, nobody needs to talk. No, we don't need to talk. So men hate those conversations. They don't talk to their kids enough about sex. They don't want to talk about their feelings with women. Those are awkward conversations.
Yeah.
And men hate awkward conversations. That's why sports is perfect for men, because there's no awkward conversations in sports.
Right.
Everything is pretty. Oh, boom. Look at this stat. I hate that guy. That guy sucks.
This
He's
guy's
awesome.
Better than that guy. Yeah. No, it's not. You're crazy.
Yeah,
it's
like, you know
there's no we need to talk.
Yeah, no one needs that gray area of we need to talk. So that's what the, you know, your doctor's always about. Your doctor wants to talk.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, what have you been doing? How you been feeling? Let me look at that. Let me look at that. Turn around. And it's healthy for you. Mm. It's an awkward conversation, and men need to get over that, because that's keeping you from living a full, healthy life. All right. Have that awkward conversation with your doctor more often, with your wife more often, with your kids more often,
yep.
And you'll be better for it.
That's the All-American Rod Babers. I'm Kevin Dunn, alongside also the MVP, Brad Kellen there. BK, this play, I know you don't want to hear that.
He hates awkward conversations. He's mad about this conversation because he thought
he's single.
Awkward. Exactly.
Yeah, when I hear we need to talk, I run. I get out of the car. I drive. I change my number. I change my address. I'm not having it.
Yep.
We're not doing it. I don't want any part of that.
Every man hates those four dreaded words.
Yeah,
no matter if it's your mom telling you that.
There's no other phrase with
four
words.
Well, you're always
it's
in
worse.
Trouble.
Well, your boss, your woman.
It's never good.
Nobody says, we need to talk. I'm going to give you some money.
Yeah.
We need to talk.
You got to get a raise.
We need to talk. Guys, you're doing a great job.
Yeah.
And?
No, that's it.
That's the talk. That's the chat.
But?
That's it.
It's never that.
Really happy with what you're doing.
Always followed by something.
It's not that awkwardness for me, because I'm not a huge believer in anything being awkward. Like, I'll make something unawkward, but anytime I hear we need to talk, it's it's bad news. I'm about to get in trouble for something I did, or someone's about to tell me something I don't want to hear, so I'm just going to avoid it altogether.
Men hate those words.
They do.
Get out to Killeen. We're going to be out here for another 2 hours, and we'll say hi. We've got some Rangers swag, some pretty cool baby blue stuff in there, including the hats, and then what is that also?
It's like blankets?
Yeah.
Can the Rangers randomly start claiming the color baby blue?
Sure.
Well, they used to be that color back in the day.
Really?
Yeah, it's retro.
Yeah.
It's not like the Astros a couple of years
ago. He's not buying it.
But the Oilers were love you blue, baby blue of the state of Texas.
Buddy Bell.
Freaking Rangers.
And I think that era would have had some of that in there.
Yeah.
So you tell me why the Oilers were wearing baby blue, the Rangers were doing it too?
Yeah.
God, the Rangers suck in so many levels. That organization, man.
Oh, really? Man. How are the Oilers doing these days,
Rob?
We're the Tennessee Titans now, so suck it.
Oh, what? You're claiming them?
I'm saying the Oilers are that.
I'm not claiming them. Like a true Texans
fan. I can't claim the Texans right now.
He hates his team so much that he's got to claim the Titans.
You mean claim Deshaun Watson? There are 22 allegations against that.
No. Wouldn't do that right now.
No. I'm not doing that. Thank you.
I wouldn't do that.
See? Everybody's like, yeah, you don't do that.
Before we get to the NBA here, I love this place. It's so clean. You get in, you get out. And like a doctor's office, sometimes you have to
talk,
but also we're not going to talk. I'd rather do what I'm about to say. You have to give them a urine sample, right? And so
– do I have to do that today?
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Nobody told me about that.
And I'm not saying you have to do that if you come here. But there may be something where you have to do that.
Yeah.
And they've got
a
nice sign. Their bathroom is incredibly clean, which is why it's been so nice to be on remote today if you go to our office bathroom.
Where is this going? I wonder.
So there's a sign that says, you know, please leave your urine on the tray. And I thought, well, I go, that's orderly, and I like that. And this thing, you can eat off the floor. It's so clean in here. Is that sign – in our bathroom at the office? Because you would think it is with the shape that our bathroom is in the urinals.
No, you mean please leave your urine on the floor? Is that the
yeah.
In our bathroom, I think right. That may be the sign.
Please leave your deuce in the urinal, whatever yeah, that is.
Maybe that may be the sign.
All right, now we're making this an awkward conversation for all the total men's people.
Yeah,
here,
you started. So. We're trying to get people out here, and then we're saying the things that we're saying, and everyone's like, no, I'm not going to see these guys right now.
Let's talk about a lifetime Longhorn and an epic performance. BK, I'll start with you. I mean, last night the Bucks had every reason to win this. They get outscored by 10 in the third quarter, 12 in the fourth quarter. They had this thing locked up. Offensively, we can talk about some of the things they did, especially in the second quarter. But we got to start with Kevin Durant. He's had some epic performances. I can't think of a playoff one that stood out like this.
Is there anybody better in the world than Kevin Durant right now?
You mean like a person, period?
No, basketball player.
Oh, basketball player. Well, that's it, because I saw Jose Altuve.
I don't know.
I saw that question being posted on Twitter, and Astros fans jumped in right away.
Basketball, you are correct.
Yeah, I wouldn't say Jeff Bezos or Jose Altuve are the best people in the world either. What a random.
Well, I'm just saying they're like living real good. They're happy.
They are living pretty good. But nah, Kevin Durant's unbelievable right now, and he's gone through a lot over the course of his career, and he's come back from a couple of devastating leg injuries that will have ruined careers for guys before him, and he looks better than ever. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was unstoppable last night. He was Steph Curry-like, right? You call him Category 5 Hurricane. Where
enough.
Everything Kevin Durant was throwing at the rim you thought was going in last night. And damn near everything did go in last night for KD. The first player in NBA playoff history to score 45, have 15 rebounds, and dish out 10 assists. He was a one-man wrecking crew for Brooklyn. And he didn't leave the floor, Rod. That's the most impressive part. I mean, the numbers are ridiculous, but to play a playoff game, Game 5 in a 2-2 series against a team that good, and to not leave the floor, to not need a rest, and to do what he did, one of the best. I mean, you couldn't count on more than one hand the playoff performances better than what we saw from Kevin Durant last night.
Yeah, I mean, it was iconic. There's no question about it. And, you know, I brought this up earlier in the show, you know, for a guy with Tupac tatted on his leg. He came out there ablaze like he had been jamming, you know, hit him up before the game. Speaking of, one and done. Shout out there.
and the top of the 5 o'clock hour.
And the top of the 5 o'clock. Shout out there. So yeah, my man KD, he was iconic, man. He was straight balling with all eyes on him. Some shout out, some Tupac references there. But yeah, he was unbelievable. I thought the most impressive thing about what KD did, and you pointed out, was the full 48 minutes that he played. Was it 48?
Yep.
4 minutes that he played the entire game. And Steve Nash said after the game, I had to play him 48 minutes. We wouldn't have won otherwise. And he's right about that. They needed him for every minute of that game. And, you know, the 17-point deficit they were down at one point, the narrative completely shifted. And I was surprised that Giannis at least didn't try to defend KD. And I know that Steve Nash – he probably didn't give them a coaching advantage or anything, but I expected Budenholzer to at least try to give them a schematic advantage with the matchups and decide, all right, Giannis, you're the defensive MVP, basically. You're our defensive player of the year. You're the all first-team defensive player on this team. Go try to neutralize Kevin Durant. Whether you can stop him or not, at least you can make him a little bit more ineffective. I believe he had the third highest field goal percentage for a 40-point playoff game ever. I mean, he was just lights out. He was unconscious. You just have to make him, you know, rethink his approach, or at least make him think about it twice. Maybe make him have to switch up his, you know, his style, or maybe make him have to attack from the outside. I mean, it seemed like anything that KD wanted to do, he could do at any time. And that was because Chris Middleton and P.J. Tucker were guarding him most of the time. If they'd have put Giannis on him, not saying Giannis would have stopped him, I'm not saying that, because that guy, he was a different level. I mean, he went to an elite level of play, but I think Giannis had a better shot to stop him than anybody else on the floor, and they never even used that option.
They had to try something else, and I'll give Steve Nash a ton of credit. I think the difference in the game last night was the coaches, right? Mike Budenholzer laid an egg last night. I mean, the offense for the Bucks in the second half was ridiculously bad. They started settling for way too many threes when the thing that they were doing in the first half and early on in the third quarter was attacking the paint.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Nets have no answer for Giannis. Not many teams do, but the Nets sure as hell don't have an answer for Giannis and Brooke Lopez and the physical presence that Milwaukee generally brings. That's how they won games 3 and 4. That's how they dominated early on last night, and then they just started settling for threes. But defensively, Rod, as you said, I mean, they're not even try Giannis. on KD is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got the reigning defensive player of the year on your team, and you don't even throw him out there for one single possession on Kevin Durant when he is absolutely torturing P.J. Tucker and Chris Middleton. That is ridiculous. And then, to Steve Nash's credit, I know you say, oh, KD was awesome. It's easy to play that guy. There are a lot of coaches who would have taken Kevin Durant out of the game last night. They would have tried, okay, for 2 or 3 minutes, can I give this guy a rest? And Steve Nash is dead on. If KD doesn't play all 48 last night, they don't win this game, and they don't win this series because of that. So I will give a young first-year head coach, Steve Nash, a ton of credit for realizing we're going to need this guy for all 48 tonight. So, yeah, I mean, last night it looked like Steve Nash was the veteran coach and Budenholzer was in his first postseason. Not the other way around.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, you're down 22 at the half. So at that point, he's got to play every minute, and they needed every minute. But you're right. I mean, I was surprised maybe even during that stretch where they're especially getting hit in the first quarter. You get in the second quarter, do you give him a blow, like a two-minute blow? They didn't do that. He goes all 48. To get back to your point about it has to be Giannis, he's going to give you length. We know how good of a defensive player he is. P.J. Tucker especially, and I love P.J. Like, that's such a mismatch. And in terms of length,
yeah.
And Durant wants to get anywhere he wants to get to, and he's shooting like that, it was going to be over with. What would you like? So let's kind of fast forward her a little bit, or look forward. We've got Harden, who gives you 46 minutes, but only 5 points. He is not the same guy. How healthy is he going to be? And then Kyrie, you would think Nets up 3-2, they have the advantage. But if it's just going to be KD, which essentially it was last night, do the Bucks? Would you still pick them to even win this, or at least to go seven?
I think it'll go seven if it's just KD and the version of James Harden we got last night. Now, the question is, and I saw Reggie Miller post this on Twitter, I honestly think it's a stupid question, but I want to hear y'all's thoughts.
It is stupid.
Okay, well, there's Rod's thoughts. KD, I want to hear your thoughts. Reggie Miller said, if you're Brooklyn, do you consider just resting James Harden for game six? Like, not even throw him out there, and maybe rest KD too, and just chalk that one up as a loss and give James Harden and Kyrie Irving a couple of extra days to get ready for that winner-take-all game seven back at your place. Do you consider doing that if you're Brooklyn?
No.
Okay, you're on the same.
No, that's stupid.
I know, Reggie Miller, I couldn't believe that.
He's the one with a hot take. He's the one with a hot
take. I guess so. But
that's why Reggie couldn't get by the Bulls.
Yeah. MJ should have tweeted back, and that would have been great.
Well, look, I mean, look, Harden was not himself, but even if he's not himself, he's not going to go 0 for 8 from beyond
right.
the arc. Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I do think this is going 7. But, yeah, just a poorly coached game by Mike Budenholzer. And as crazy as it sounds, considering how good the Bucks have been in recent years, because of all of these postseason struggles, if the Bucks come up short again, I wouldn't be surprised if they made a move at head coach. I really wouldn't.
And that makes
last
sense.
Night was inexcusably bad. Like, this is – I know the Bucks have been the one seed in the past. I think the past couple of years they've been the one seed in the East, and they came up short. This year they're the three seed. So on paper, maybe not their best chance to at least get to the finals, but with all of the injuries going on with Brooklyn, with the Lakers, with the Clippers now, with Kawhi, I mean, there's never been an easier path for Milwaukee. Like, they're relatively healthy right now.
Yeah.
They don't have any excuse to not at least get to the finals, and they might come up short because of their head coach, because of mistakes that he made in Game 5 last night. So I wouldn't be surprised if they don't get past this round, Rod, if they decide to make a move at the top.
Yeah, I mean, you're not getting rid of Giannis.
No.
Giannis is the, you know, he's the building block. You're going to build around him.
You're also Milwaukee. You're lucky that he just wants to stay there.
And Giannis is, the reports are he's very loyal. He's a loyal guy. He's really humble and that he doesn't necessarily want to leave. But if Milwaukee can't break through, you know, this, they can't get through to the championship round and get to the finals with Giannis. He was an MVP and a defensive player of the year and an all first team NBA player multiple times, off defense as well. Yeah, they got to do something else. I believe they thought when, you know, and I think Boston was thinking this too, when LeBron James leaves, we're going to be in perfect position to pounce on the East and we're going to dominate the East. And then Kawhi Leonard comes along with Toronto and then they win. And then now the Nets in the East are going to be the new Kings, especially when they're healthy. And the Giannis and the Bucks might have missed their window in their current construction. They may have to reconstruct this whole thing with just Giannis. And I agree, Budenholzer's got to go too. And the crazy thing about it, Budenholzer's a damn good coach.
Yeah, he is.
But he's not the guy that can take them to the promised land. He's a good coach, but not the guy to take them to the promised land.
And also trying to figure out Middleton and who the pieces are going to be around. Look, they bring in P.J. Tucker and
– go get Dame Lillard.
Go
get Dame and heat him up with Giannis somehow.
Go get someone and see if you can't play off that. But I'll give Jeff Green some credit because Harden gives you a goose egg, and Jeff Green at his age pops in 27 for you, which to go with Durant kept them in this.
Blake Griffin gave you 17.
Yeah.
Old man.
It was an old man game last night.
It was
in Brooklyn. Guys, who's the favorite to win the NBA title right now?
Suns, probably.
I mean, the Suns have the CP3 COVID issue.
We don't know how long that's going to last.
Exactly.
That's based on – because, first of all, we don't know if he's had the COVID vaccine. If you had the COVID vaccine, then your quarantine time is much less than if you haven't had the COVID vaccine. But even with that, we still don't know how long they're going to have him quarantined. I doubt it's going to be multiple weeks like it used to be when we first started this thing. So something tells me CP3 is going to end up – I don't know when they're going to end up playing, but something tells me CP3 will be ready to go.
Yeah, he might miss a game.
He might miss a game.
In the next round. Yeah. But
Kawhi's ACL, I didn't believe in them anyway, so I wouldn't pick them to win it. And then Kyrie, remind me how long they think he's going to be out. They don't know. Okay, I'm still going to go with the Nets.
Yeah, I mean, a healthy Nets is the easy choice, but are they going to be healthy? Are they ever going to get healthy?
I'm
going to
take that risk.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, in Vegas, they are still the favorites to win it all. They weren't going into last night, right? The Bucks were actually favored to win this series going into Game 5 because of all of the injury news surrounding Brooklyn. But the Nets got the win, and now they're the favorites again. But it is a war of attrition right
really
now.
Really is.
Utah's staying pretty healthy. People have been sleeping on them all year. I know people have been sleeping on Phoenix all year, too. But Utah, they've got a great shot. I didn't think they'd get past the Clippers. But if Kawhi is out the rest of the way, they're getting past the Clippers. And then Philly. What about Philly?
I don't know. Nobody likes Philly.
Believe it or not, they're like the healthiest team right now.
Which is crazy with Joel Embiid.
I know. And I don't know if Embiid's 100%. He didn't look that way in game four because he choked in Atlanta, and that's a 2-2 series right now, and that should have been over in five. But, man, Philly, the one seed in the East, I don't think you could throw them out. It just feels like the team that stays healthiest has the best shot to win. In some years, that's the case, Rod. You brought up the Warriors with KD losing to the Raptors in 2019, but usually that's reserved for other sports.
Yeah.
Right. Usually NFL or NHL is when you get your war of attrition and guys go down and, well, whoever's the healthiest at the end is going to win. Usually that's not a basketball thing. But this year, that might be the case, and people might have some qualms with who hoists the Larry O.B. because of that.
I was about to say the Bucks. So let's say the Bucks even do finish this thing off and win the whole thing. People are going to question how legitimate that is. There's still going to be a question of if everyone's healthy, is this the right Bucks team to get it done again?
Oh, people are questioning the Suns right now because they didn't have to play the Lakers with LeBron and AD for a whole series.
Yeah, people question the title last year because it was in the bubble and it's because of COVID. So people will always find some damn excuse to put an asterisk by something.
True. That's true.
The truth is they shouldn't, but I understand that thought process. LeBron James is upset. He put out via Twitter about the flurry of injuries hitting NBA players. BK brought the stat up earlier that if Kawhi Leonard ends up missing time, which he is, he'll be the eighth different All-Star to miss a game this year in the postseason. That is the most in NBA history. And then CP3 could add to that too. Yeah, that's what LeBron James is bringing up. He's saying, they all didn't want to listen to me about the start of the season. I knew exactly what would happen. I only wanted to protect the well-being of the players, which ultimately is the product, in all caps, and benefit of our game, in all caps. These injuries isn't just part of the game, in all caps. It's the lack of pure rim rest, all caps, rest before starting back up. Eight, possibly nine All-Stars has missed playoff games. This is the best time of the year for our league and fans. But missing a ton of our favorite players is insane. If there's one person that know about the body and how it works all year round, it's me, all caps. I speak for the health of all of our players, and I hate to see this many injuries this time of the year. Sorry, fans. Wish you guys were seeing all of your favorite guys right now. Praying hands emoji, crown of the king emoji.
That sounds like more than 280 characters, number one.
No,
number
no, you put it on like a statement, a screenshot.
Right. I figured there was a LeBron exception for Twitter.
That might be.
Just leave caps lock on at that point.
Yeah, right.
Yelling the whole time.
I mean, he was.
He's like Gilbert Gottfried.
You can't go. You can't go more than 50% caps lock. Like at that point, you are yelling the whole time.
Yeah, a lot of caps lock. But to LeBron's point, everybody should have expected this. We saw it in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
With the strange reduced offseason. The NFL, I looked at war-adjusted injuries lost since 2012. The 49ers in 2020, number one. Cowboys in 2020, number two. Since 2012, we're talking about, the most Gacy games lost due to injuries, and then the Bengals of 2020 were 15. So out of the top 15 teams to be affected most by injuries since 2012, three of them happened in 2020. That's just the NFL. Mm. But that's the case for the NBA. It was the case for Major League Baseball. These guys are – they're thoroughbreds. Anytime you mess up the schedule of a thoroughbred – anything, little as small and minuscule as it may be, it throws their entire body out of whack. It just does.
Yep, that's why. That's how they work. That's why I hate my schedule getting messed up.
Okay. Yeah, just right. Changes up everything. What are you ready?
Thoroughbred too. Yeah. All right, I'll talk about the college football playoff. Great article in Sports Illustrated, actually illustrating how the college football playoff expansion conversation came together. We got to give somebody props who we don't give a lot of props to. This man has been hot as of late, and he's the reason that the college football playoff will be expanded. We'll talk about that, and we'll also get into some of the numbers about the money that could be generated from the college football playoff expansion. All that and more right here on the Triple Option with RBKD right here on 104.9
1019. I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real.
My God! Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
No, you've done it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
All right, welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. We're hanging out here in Killeen, Texas at Total Men's Primary Care. Brand spanking new location. I mean, it was actually a party going on out here earlier. Still got some cake out here. They had Miss Killeen out here.
She's still here.
All right, I got to give me a picture or something. Yeah. She's got the sash and everything. All right, so come on out here if you're in the neighborhood. It is in Killeen. It is, I'll make sure I get the address, 2511 Tremier Road. Yeah, I thought I had it memorized, and I did, but I almost did. 2511 Tremier Road if you're in the neighborhood. But if you're not in the neighborhood, trust me, there's a Total Men's Primary Care somewhere near you. So just go check it out online and find the one near you and get a checkup. That'd help you out a lot. I'm actually do that myself. I'm an old man now, so it's official. And I think one of the time you're getting married, because I'm getting married later this year, you're supposed to get like the all that stuff done as an old guy.
What do you mean by that?
You know what I mean by that. All that stuff done. A lot of stuff that needs to be done when you're 40.
Gotcha. Something
needs to be checked.
That.
Very intimate, personal things as a man needs to be done. See, the doc left. He don't even want to talk about it. Well, I start talking about that stuff. He's like, I'm out of here.
Well, she'll be doing that to you figuratively soon enough. So might as well literally get it done.
I'm signing up for it. All right. Something else we're all signing up for is the college football playoff expansion. We did hear last week that we are on the verge of college football playoff expansion. It was a great article by Ross Dellinger in SI.com, Sports Illustrated. Go check it out if you get a chance. And he describes exactly how the college football playoff expansion conversation happened, how it started, and who really was responsible for this college football playoff expansion. And guys,
so I can blame them because not everyone's down for
you can
it, so.
Well, yeah, you actually
not down to go to 12.
You're gonna be upset about this too, because one of your favorite people is involved, heavily involved in college football playoff expansion. They're pushing it. They're
really
big advocates of it. Yeah, we'll get to that in just
Swarbrick.
A second. We'll get to that just a all second right. Yeah, I don't know, spoilers.
Yeah, let him tease.
All right, so okay, so this is how it all started. So Mark Keenum is his name. He's the Mississippi State president, and he actually is the chairman of the College Football Playoff Board of Managers. The Board of Managers is 11 presidents, 11 school presidents. I won't name them all to you because I don't want to bore you half to death. So he asked Mark Keenum. He went to Bill Hancock, who is the executive director of the College Football Playoff Committee, and he asked Bill Hancock to examine the College Football Playoff and see if it needs to be expanded. If it's fine with four teams, status quo, if it does need to be expanded, how many teams, what would be the benefit, what are the disadvantages, all those different things. Go deep diving. Go rabbit holing, as I like to say, right?
Yeah.
Go rabbit holing. That's exactly what they asked him to do. So Bill Hancock, of course, you know, this is like a bureaucracy, right? This is a corporation, so it all rolls downhill. So
right.
He gets somebody else to do the job. His boss asked him to do it. He asked somebody else to do it.
And you question their motives, and it always comes down to money.
Yeah. We'll get to that. So Bill Hancock ended up getting together members of the College Football Playoff Board of Managers. The College Football Playoff Management Committee. Right, they're different. Board of Managers and Management Committee are different. Board of Managers, 11 school presidents. Management Committee is presidents and ADs, movers and shakers. Okay, so this board and committee, they got together and decided, all right, we're going to have a working group. We're going to appoint a working group amongst all of us, ADs and presidents, and this working group is going to explore college football playoff expansion. The group they decided a four-man working group. Your boy Jack Swarbrick,
yeah.
Notre Dame AD, the only athletic director, by the way. The rest of them are conference commissioners that's in this working group here that's supposed to explore college football playoff expansion. And they're the ones who came up with the 12-team playoff. This is the group. Craig Thompson, he's a Mountain West conference commissioner.
Big fan.
Yeah, I love Craig.
We go way back.
Greg Sankey, he's the SEC commissioner. And Bob Bowlesby.
Well, after doing stand-up in the room just to get them all loose, I'm sure he was a big part of it.
Now, remember, we all have Bob Bowlesby to thank for having a college football season.
We do.
Yeah.
Because remember, at one point, it all hinged on his vote. The ACC and the SEC, they were pretty adamant about having a season, just making sure COVID protocols were in place. At that time, the Pac-12 and the Big Ten were pretty adamant about we should cancel college football season because we got bigger fish to fry with this pandemic, and they just kind of waited on Bob Bowlesby in the Big 12 to figure it out, and they will let that vote determine or at least sway, all right, the conversation either way. Bob Bowlesby and the Big 12, now history, we know, decided they wanted to play college football, and the rest is history.
Yep.
And the rest of the dominoes fell into place. So
Swarbrick actually had a part in that too, with Notre Dame agreeing to do it.
Great point.
But Bowlesby was that final pin.
So Bowlesby and Swarbrick got a little background, right? So this group, this is based on the article. I want to read right from the article here. Bob Bowlesby, he's claiming basically that he spearheaded the expansion conversation.
Bob.
Yeah, here it is. The excerpt. Bob Bowlesby cannot recall what he scribbled on the outside of the envelope, a bracket, a scenario, a ranking, but he believes it to be something of significance. Otherwise, why would he keep it? The envelope is somewhere likely buried in a filing cabinet or tucked into a box alongside other hand-scribbled notes that Bowlesby took during his 2 years of meetings as a member of the College Football Playoff Committee. These meetings were held in clandestine nature, covertly, in airport hotels, in different back rooms of restaurants, trying to stay away from people who would know their face and maybe leak out the possibility of expansion. But Bob Bowlesby says that, he said, I know I have something on the back of an envelope somewhere that will be historic.
But he doesn't remember what it said?
He does. He said,
it's a time capsule. You're not allowed to open
it.
Oh, God.
For a number of years.
So this group, they examined nearly 100 playoff models, they claim. I don't even know if there are that many damn playoff models. I mean, four, six,
three,
eight,
four, five and a half.
Keep it the way it is,
what
and we're
are you
good.
Doing?
Right? There's like four or five.
Over 2 years of meetings, gentlemen, they even explored a 24-team bracket at one time. They got that deep into it. But they decided in the end that 12 was going to be perfect. I said this is over 2 years of meetings. And this is something that stood out to me that was really cool. You know, they decided on the 12-team playoff format and agreed that that would be the recommendation to the College Football Playoff Committee to vote on. They decided on it before the pandemic.
Interesting.
Before the pandemic.
Wow.
Here's the
So the money grab is not about the loss of money with the pandemic.
No. Exactly.
It's just a money grab,
exactly.
Which doesn't surprise me. They would have wanted it before and
everybody
after.
Everybody thinks that incentivized them to, we got to expand because we lost so much money. No. They said during the first week of March 2020, about 2 weeks before America went on pause for the pandemic, the four met in the Grand Hyatt of the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport and reached a consensus at that time. They would recommend a 12-team playoff. They didn't meet again for 13 months in person.
Interesting.
They did Zoom meetings like the rest of the world
in that
time span. And Swarbrick says, you lost so much, our process really slowed down at that time. Swarbrick said, the greatest triumph is that it never got out. He said, people didn't know what we were doing. The fact that we kept it all in secrecy this long, having already agreed on the expansion for a year plus without anybody finding out, he said, that truly was the most remarkable
thing. It's amazing.
It's amazing.
In the age of social media.
Yes. The fact that it didn't get out, that some hotel manager or some bellhop didn't say, hey, man, they're meeting here and go tell somebody and get a tip. No.
What it does, you're right about that. It's still surprising. What it does tell us is that these guys aren't as recognizable or as famous as they think they are.
Swarbrick said he was. He said a Notre Dame guy.
Swarbrick actually,
Swarbrick said he was walking through the hotel in Fort Worth when they agreed on it. And a Notre Dame guy said, what are you? He said he was in the airport. He said, what are you doing here? And he said, I just got some business. He was like, something's going on. And he was like, nothing's going on. And the fan was like, something's going on. I've never seen you around here down south. So some fans might have known. But anyway.
Yeah, Bob Bowlesby, you wouldn't be able to recognize him by looking at him. But if he started talking, you would start to fall asleep.
Yeah.
And that's how you know it's Bob Bowlesby.
Yeah.
That's your clue.
Right. Another thing that's interesting, guys. Jack Swarbrick, your boy, all right, the AD of Notre Dame, he claims the presidents are the ones that spearheaded this, not the ADs. He claims that the presidents.
Joe Biden?
The 11.
It was Biden and Trump.
Basically.
Together. It came together.
The board of managers, which is those 11 school presidents I talk about, he said they are the ones not only that were pushing for expansion, but they kept pressure on the working group to make sure that it got done.
That's also not surprising because a lot of the presidents, they're not going to care about the health of the sport or the regular season being taken
money.
Away. It's money.
And here's the money for you. So Navigate Research, they're a research and data analytics company, usually advises brands and sports organizations and entertainment organizations. They did research predicting the proposed playoff could be worth upwards of $1.9 billion annually. $1.9 billion annually.
They're not turning that away.
Right now, the college football playoff makes around $600 million. This is talking about, guys, an extra – I mean, the Power Five schools would get an extra, I don't know, $6 to $9 million each.
Very nice.
And the experts say that you can expect a 25% increase in viewership if you expand to this 12-team playoff. You can go to 183 million viewers. Your Ohio State-Bama national title game got 18.7 million viewers. It was the lowest in college football playoff history. They average around 28 million usually.
And you're talking about Cume.
They're talking
too.
About the totality of their playoff as a whole. But still, the college football playoff doesn't get ratings even close to what they're talking about with the 12-team and the money, $1.9 billion. You'll hear
but
that
they're not telling us that 12 versus 5 with a couple two-loss teams is going to have a better rating. They're talking about cumulative.
They're talking about
because there's more games.
Yes, they're talking about cumulative totality of it all. But that was how
interesting
much more
numbers,
money they're
man.
Looking at. So
we'll see how it goes. And not surprising to find out it was a president's. Kind of surprising to find out that it was going on that long.
Before COVID. Before COVID, it was a thing. So
good stuff, man. That's good rabbit holing right there. Was that the rabbit hole you were talking about earlier?
The rabbit hole I did was about the college football playoff and how schools in the state of Texas would have done. Surprisingly, when I went back the last 10 years, if you did have a 12-team format, the state of Texas in the FBS schools here would have had representation 9 times. Baylor 3 times, TCU 3 times, A&M twice, and U of H once.
Okay. Wow, U of H.
And no Texas.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah. So if Texas gets back to promise, my point is this could be really good for the state of Texas, which treats football not only as a religion but an economic engine.
No doubt about that. Yeah. Great stuff.
Yeah,
Rod's
man, really good
rant
stuff.
Of the day here on the Triple Option with RBKD. We are live at Total Men's Primary Care, 2511 Tremere Road in Killeen. We'll be here till 7 o'clock. Come out and see us. We're giving away koozies, stickers. We've got Rangers gear as well. And just come say hello. This is a fantastic facility. Make sure you sign up for an appointment in the not-too-distant future at any Total Men's across Central Texas. Rapid COVID test, annual physicals, whatever you need, Total Men's Primary Care has your back. When we come back, boy, this is going to be a weird story to talk about on a remote. There's a new television program centered around slip and slides. Mm. You know, we all love slip and slides as kids. But they had to halt production of the show because of this. We'll give you the details next.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. Shout out to my man John Reichel back there twisting and tweaking the dials, playing the Tupac jams on a old school hip-hop hump day, way back Rap Wednesday. Ironically, serendipitously, it ended up working out where Tupac would be his 50th birthday on today. So we're celebrating that. Now he's got the instrumentals and the PG-13 version, too, which takes a while to find for any Tupac discography. So we appreciate my man John back there twisting and tweaking the dials. All right, gentlemen, there's a weird story to get to here. So have a little patience with me with this story because it's a story that has been making the rounds on social media. It's a very delicate topic here. When we played football, we would call this the BGZs, the bubble guts. Happens to all of us, the bubble guts.
Yep.
That's how I refer to it, try to keep things PG-13, okay? With a slip and slide game show that had to be stopped. Because of an explosive outbreak.
So, like, slip and slide, like the game we used to play?
Yeah, like kids. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, like
I used to love slip and slide.
It was an NBC upcoming game show called The Ultimate Slip and Slide.
Play Hotbox in between it?
I don't know. That's not for kids.
Different hot box.
Yeah, what?
I was going to say, that's not for the kids. What
it's
are you talking?
Baseball.
How old were you?
Baseball hot box.
You had an enclosed
what is hot boxing for baseball?
It's not hot boxing what you're thinking.
What is hot boxing for baseball?
It's where you've got runners that are going back and forth, and you got two people at the end of the slip and slide or anything else at bases, and you try and steal. So if you're on the other side, you wait for the person to throw, and then you take off, and then the person catches it and tries to throw it back to them and get you out as you.
Why is that called hot boxing?
Yeah, I was about to ask that too.
Does it make any sense?
I don't know. Why is the other one called? Well, actually, I know. That's what I'm
like. It makes perfect sense why the other one's called
hot boxing. Slip and slides were fun back in the
day. Yes, they were.
Dangerous.
I thought it was called pickle. You don't call that a pickle?
It was called pickle too.
Okay,
but we called it hot boxing.
Why is it called pickle?
Well, that's the baseball expression. Like, you're caught in a pickle, you're caught in a rundown.
Yeah, caught in a jam.
Why do they call it jam?
I don't know.
It's better to call it jam.
Although we also would call it jelly. So, no, I'm kidding.
What's the difference?
Must be jam.
Yeah. Pickle and hot box.
What's the difference between jelly and jam?
Oh, don't you do it. No.
I can't.
No, don't you.
Okay,
you're
right.
I got this one.
No.
It's seeds.
No, John, you yeah.
Oh,
thank
my
you.
God.
Thank you.
Oh, it must be jelly because jam don't shake like that. Anyway, the log line.
Get that more here.
Apparently, the NBC upcoming game show, The Ultimate Slip and Slide, so that was the premise of it, adults like just own slip and slides, these big industrial-sized ones. They said the outdoor competition took the spirit of the backyard slip and slide, transformed it into a real-life water park full, you know, with gigantic slippery rides and all kind of stuff. But the show's 65-foot-tall slide that's loosely based on the Whammo, branded sheet of plastic that you used as your dad's step house. Remember that thing? The Whammo? Not remember that?
For my dad's step house? What?
It's saying the one you used to use at your dad's step house.
Okay.
The Whammo.
The slip and slide.
Okay.
That was the brand of slip
and
slide.
I got
right?
You.
Okay.
I got you.
Okay.
All right. So according to The Wrap, which is a news organization that covers sports entertainment and entertainment, it said as many as 40 crew members had explosive bubble guts.
Mm.
That
the D word?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Explosive bubble guts all over the place
while they were
slip and sliding.
Oh, slip and slide?
Yeah,
oh
down this 65-foot-tall slip and slide where I guess multiple contestants would go through at a time. They had an incident where they had explosive, widespread bubble guts.
Mm.
It left them collapsing, reportedly, on the Simi Valley set earlier this month as a result of the frantic bathroom breaks and the use of the words explosive, of course, and in succession, production was halted, temporarily suspended.
Yeah.
Since the first week of June, at least one member of the crew tested positive for, I'm not sure if I pronounced this correctly, Giardia, a parasite that can cause bloating, gas, and intestinal issues that force you to do, you know, all types of things to try to relieve oneself.
You trying to say gonorrhea there?
No, it's G-I-R-D-I-A.
It's either Giardia or Giardia.
Okay. Giardia?
Oh, Adiva. That's an airport in New York, I believe.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Although I've seen some bubble guts there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so apparently this bug, all right, got around the set. I don't know how, maybe food, whatever.
So were they actually sliding, or did contestants have it? Because I'm picturing the slip and slide. The water turning brown.
Yeah, they said they did. They tested a lot of the show's filming location for that bug, Giardia, including the pond, the slide pool, the water trucks, sinks in the restroom. They said all those tests were negative, but additional tests revealed the bug in surrounding areas.
Wow.
So they just got to – they have to move the whole location of the show.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't go back there. I mean, you need a new slip and slide every time that happens, right?
Yeah.
So, yes.
So they probably ran through a bunch of these Whammos. They probably spent a bunch of extra money getting these new slip and slides. And then, they had a whole production and then move production somewhere completely different. And I'm sure that's going to delay the start of the show. Whenever the premiere was supposed to be, now is getting pushed back because of this.
They claim basically all of the – all the contestants on the show got some form of it.
Oh,
some severe,
God,
some got it, you know.
And they're all away from home. They're on a set, so there's probably just porta pots everywhere. Like,
that's what it is.
You don't get a normal bathroom or anything
and
like
they
that.
They said these people were running to these porta potties.
Oh, man.
Sprinting. Yeah. And then also, as you said, Rod, passing out. Now, did you see the Funches guy who's one of the, I guess, hosts of this? So People did an article about this, and they showed a picture of the two hosts, and what is it, Ron Funches? Yeah, Ron Funches is one of them, and he's got this really proud picture. So, you know, probably wasn't about this, but that was whatever picture they could have to show, and he had some fun with it on Twitter. He said, I love that they used a picture that makes me look proud. Did I have owner of explosive diarrhea water park on my vision board? No. I never dreamed that big. Sounds like a line you would give.
Yeah, it's exactly the line I would give.
Yeah, man.
Oh, man. What a
story.
This
is hilarious.
Well, I'm excited. I'm actually like intrigued what the show is going
to
be.
I know. I would
love.
Like.
I would love for them. They won't. And I'm the only person in the world who would love
this. You don't want.
I just
want
to see like one little clip of the guy sliding down a slip and slide and then just having explosive bubble guts. Just one time. Just one time.
No, thank you.
We're never going to see that again. That's history right there, dude.
The footage will be leaked on YouTube.
Cool. I'll watch it.
Leaked. Well done.
That was not intentional.
That was good.
That was not.
You got to take credit.
Did you let that one slip?
No. I don't want to.
Okay.
No.
All right.
I don't want to celebrate that.
Unbelievable.
Anymore.
All right. Well, we apologize for all the advertisers that's going to follow this.
Yeah. And sorry to Total Men's and all the people
really
here.
Really sorry
at Total
Men's.
Primary care.
Although, if you have that,
you need to go to Total Men's.
There you go.
You need to go to Total Men's.
They got you.
Quickly.
They got you. Yeah. Very, very quickly. It's the triple option with RBKD. 3 hours down, one to go on a Wednesday. When we return, we'll talk some Texas Longhorn basketball. Chris Beard landing another big fish from the transfer portal. We'll talk about Trey Mitchell and what he can bring to the table and what the expectation should be for the Horns next season. That's next.